Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading 175 this morning. Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's see if we can remember what 174 is, since it's such an important verse. Anybody remember the Sanskrit? Bhakti yogena manasi samyak praniyate malay pashat purusham purnam. You know the verse? Only part of it? Samyak praniyate malay apashyat purusham mayam cha tad apashayam. Let's go over it slowly again. This is review. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak praniyate malay. This is what Vyas did. And then the second is what he saw after he did. He fixed his mind in spotless, amamam, uncontaminated, perfectly complete trance of meditation. Samyak pranihate malay. Then, what happened? Apashyat, he saw Purusham Purnam. He saw the Supreme Person, meaning he saw the whole spiritual world and all the Lord's expansions of his personal expansions, his energies, and specifically mentioned as his inferior energy. Mayam cha. Tad apashrayam. Tad apashrayam means under his full control. So then, yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manyute anartam tatkritam chavipadyate. I'll go over this a few times. Very important verse. Yaya sammohita jiva. There's moha. Means? Moha means? Illusion. And sammoha means? Completely illusioned. Jiva. So, by this maya, which was mayam cha tadapashram, the feature of maya, under the control of the Lord, the living entity is controlled by that maya. Yaya sammohita jiva. Atmanam trigunatmakam. Atmanam, the very self of that living entity, is deluded by trigunatmakam, the modes of nature. So we saw the conditioned state of the living entity, the essence of that conditioned state. So it's like the Bhagavad Gita introduction. It says there's five topics in the Bhagavad Gita. Already we've gotten three. Just in these two verses. Living entity, Prakriti, and Ishvara. And what's the relationship between them? There's liberated jivas and there's conditioned jivas. So this is describing the conditioned jivas. The three trigunatmakam, conditioned by the three modes. And those modes are under the supervision. Maya dyakshena prakriti. Suyate satcharacharam. So the Supreme Lord is supervising prakriti, and prakriti is putting the living entity under a whammy. Illusion. Paropi, although, api means although the living entity is para, is superior. Vyas saw the living entity, although superior, is covered by this deluding potency. Paropi manute anartam. Anartha means things unwanted. Artha means things wanted. And anartha means things unwanted. So, the living entity becomes covered by these modes of nature and thinks that things that are unwanted are wanted, which means things that are wanted are taken to be as unwanted. Things that are unwanted are taken to be wanted. That's ignorance. It's reverse of the way things should be. What is night for the conditioned soul is happiness for the liberated soul and vice versa. The liberated soul considers certain things are not to be done, and the conditioned soul are, that's their festival. And that which is a festival for the liberated soul is abominable for the conditioned soul. Intolerable. Horrible. Paropi manmate anartam tat kritam chabipadyate. Tat, by that, kritam cha, by the, there's a reaction. So, by taking up activities which are unwanted for the living entity, there's a reaction. They become bound by the material nature further in ignorance as a reaction to their ignorant activities. So that's the problem. And you also, because you understand, if you understand the root of a problem, then you can understand how to solve the problem. Like, Jiva Goswami reasons, it's very reasonable. If we can understand how we got into the material condition of life, we can understand how to get out. If we know the doorway through which we came into this room, we can understand how to leave the room. Very simple. So Vyas is realizing the conditioned state of the living entity. Reversing that conditioned state is the liberation process. So I could understand the conditioned and the liberated factors of living entities. And the liberated state is to recognize that he's para. He has nothing to do with this place. Literally have nothing to do with this place. And the materialist is very, very busy with this place, having nothing to do with their para identity. So the translation reads, due to this external energy, so it's nice to, these are important verses, so it's nice to know the Sanskrit, yaya. By whom or by which? By the illusory energy. Yeah, yeah. Due to the external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks himself as a material product, and thus undergoes the reaction of material miseries. So there's a cause and effect. If the effect is what we don't like, material miseries, what's the cause? Although transcendental, identifying ourselves with the modes of material nature and the actions and reactions of the modes of material nature. Although we're transcendental, we have nothing to do with it. How does that happen? Why do we make such a stupid mistake? Due to this external energy. Sammohito jiva. Due to the external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to three modes of material nature, thinks himself as a material product. Now, that covering influence of the external energy can change. The covering can be removed, just as in the case of Vyas, the covering was withdrawn by the Supreme Lord, and so he could see himself and the Supreme Lord. He could see himself as he is, and the Supreme Lord as he is. And the living entities in their conditioned state as they are, and the material energy as it is. And the essence is presented in the purport. This comes about as a result of the surrendering process. That's the mitigating method. Prabhupada starts the purport very boldly, strongly. The root cause of suffering by the materialistic living beings is pointed out with remedial measures which are to be undertaken and are also the ultimate perfection which one can gain. So, mitigating process, surrender. By surrender to the Lord, then the Maya and its Trigunas influence is withdrawn. Surrender unto the Supreme Lord. By that process. The process of getting relief. Here's Prabhupada's language. This surrendering process is the remedial measure for getting relief from the bewildering ways of the illusory energy. Sentence before that. The Supreme Lord descends from his kingdom upon the kingdom of the illusory energy and personally gives relief in the form of Bhagavad Gita, wherein he suggests that although the ways of the illusory energy are very stiff to overcome, one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord is set free by the order of the Supreme. So, by the order of the Supreme, we're set free. We're set free means, like the example given here, the king may enter into the prison where someone who he has arrested has been imprisoned and pleads with them for reformation. And if they accept, then he'll release them. So like that, Krishna is pleading in Bhagavad Gita for our reformation. And if we accept, we're released. Sounds too simple. Gotta be more complicated than that. More complicated only because we don't want to surrender. But it's not more complicated than that. He sets us free, or he can keep us in the conditioned state. And the deciding factor is in our hand. Although he holds the key to the prison. The deciding factor is in our hand. 4, Prabhupada writes, the surrendering process is completed by the influence of association. What does that mean? Prabhupada gives the example, one man who is tied and another man who is tied cannot untie one another. The one who is hands are not tied, he can untie another. Pretty simple. So, someone who is situated in bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihate male can free one who is tied up, not one who is not. So, you know, such literature written by speculative philosophers is a waste of time. It's worse than a waste of time. It's deluding. One thinks, oh, maybe I can get free by reading another man who's also bound. The Lord has suggested, therefore, that by the influence of the speeches of saintly persons who have actually realized the Supreme, men are engaged in his transcendental loving service. The conditioned soul is going to taste for hearing about the Lord, and by such hearing only he is gradually elevated to the platform of respect, devotion, and attachment for the Lord. And again, the whole process is the whole thing is completed by the surrendering process. So it's hearing is imperative, but surrendering. What does that mean? Surrendering. It's not abandonment of self. It's letting go of false ego and accepting our position as subordinate to the Supreme. That's all. That's what surrendering means. And so if we're subordinate to the Supreme, what do? We serve Him. What does the subordinate do to the superior? What does the servant to the master? He serves. We have modern notions that say that's not good. Don't be a slave. You know, find truth yourself. That's another Maya. And Prabhupada would speak sometimes about, there's one philosopher who writes books and goes around teaching that you don't need a teacher. If you don't need a teacher, then stop writing books. Stop speaking. Be quiet. Don't need a teacher. But they, so, it's a trick for fools. Or very weak-minded fools. Here's my teaching. You don't need a teacher. That means you've accepted that person as your teacher that says you don't need a teacher. It's double talk. It's cheating. And they get a Nobel Prize for double talk. The donkeys that brays the loudest gets the award from the other donkeys. Oh, he brays very, very loudly. But it's, you know, it's funny, but at the same time it's sad because there are people who read that literature and think, oh, this is very lofty. Such a wonderful philosopher. So not that kind of association, but the association of one who is factually liberated. Therefore, Narada came to that position, and Narada instructed Vyas to come to that position, and Vyas And this Bhagavatam is instructing us to come to that position by the surrendering process. So, Prabhupada is now going to repeat something that he said earlier. I didn't say it earlier, so the first part, so I'll say it earlier. There is a benefit for the living entity, or this whammy for the conditioning influence. The benefit is, through the unfortunate, unnecessary suffering of the living entity in illusion, they can realize this is, it's not a good program. It's not what real, I was hoping for happiness. And I pursued, like a donkey chasing the carrot, I was pursuing that happiness. It never came, instead it was misery. So the message is, it's the wrong program. You're going down the wrong road. You have to go back and check your map quest to make sure you're in the right road. Go back to that dividing place and take the right road. You've lost some time, you went down the wrong road, okay, go back and go on the right road. That's a remedial purpose of material punishment. The conditioned souls are being reclaimed by the Lord by both ways. One, by the process of punishment by the external energy of the Lord, and two, by He Himself as the spiritual master, both within and without. Two ways of reclaiming conditioned souls: the external energy, and then Himself, or His representative, instructing. So, Prabhupada explains, Krishna is within the heart, and then outside, Krishna provides the Bhagavad Gita, or the spiritual master who explains Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, it's either Krishna says, or someone saying Krishna says. Same thing. So, that's the association. And we don't have the qualification to hear Krishna says from within the heart, antaryami. So we require the spiritual master. Then Krishna says. It's like a relay system. Like Lord Brahma going to the shore of the milk ocean and offering the prayers, Purusha Sukta prayers, and the Lord then spoke from within Brahma's heart. The others couldn't hear. They didn't have their receivers on. So Brahma explained, this is what the Lord said. He said, He'll come very soon. You should now take birth in the family of the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties. So, yes sir, we'll take birth in the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties. That's the Lord's order. To assist the Lord in His pastime. So instructions can come through the Lord in the heart, as with Brahma, or through Brahma, who has that contact. Or one who has received that knowledge in deceptive succession, then this stage of mitigation of the material suffering condition can be achieved. Now, Prabhupada explained something very interesting. If you look at it the wrong way, it looks like it's contradictory or wrong. But don't look at it the wrong way. Here's what Prabhupada writes. The theory that the living entity is absolute impersonal Brahman is refuted herein. This cannot be. because the living entity has his own way of thinking in the original unconditional state also. And that's what this verse is describing. Yayasamohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. Paropi manute, the living entity is para. And it has para condition, transcendental condition. The living entity exists with thinking process apart from the material type of thinking process of the conditioned state. Got it? We have our personal existence when not covered by Maya, because the Mayavadi argument is there's no such thing as living entity. What's living entity? It's Brahman covered. There's no living entity, it's just Brahman covered. And in your liberated state, you realize you're not a living entity, you're Brahman. You're the Supreme. That's very nice, I'm Supreme. There's only one problem. If I'm Supreme, how did I get covered? Because if I got covered, that means the covering is greater than the Supreme. What kind of philosophy is that? Then covering is Supreme. Right? And here's what the Mayavadi says. Well, the fact of the matter is the covering doesn't exist. No, we think it exists. Because all there is Brahman. Do that again. All there is Brahman. To think that there's a living entity is false. Maya covers Brahman. That's what the living entity is. So you remove the covering of Maya and Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. But the one who is hearing this argument, the devotee who is hearing this argument will say, well, that's very interesting, but then how does Brahman become covered? Because if Brahman becomes covered, then the covering is greater than Brahman. Then the covering is supreme. So how is that? How is Brahman supreme if the covering covers Brahman? The answer they give is, well, that's easy. It doesn't exist. It's false. Jagat mithya, right? You heard it before. It's false. It doesn't exist. Because all that exists is Brahman. It's word jugglery. It's circular logic. It's bad reasoning. So, Prabhupada is stating in the purport, in this verse, the Mayavad doctrine that Brahman becomes covered is dismissed because the living entity is there, the Supreme Lord is there, and Maya is there. And Maya is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and because Maya is removed by the control of the Supreme Lord, the living entity stands uncovered. As Vyas was not covered. Therefore he could see. One who's covered cannot see. Just like we look in the sky and if there's a bunch of clouds, we can't see the sun. Doesn't mean the sun isn't there. We can't see the sun. Or at night, we can't see the sun. There's the planets in the way. But the sun exists. So it's very egotistical to say otherwise. The theory that a living being is absolute impersonal Brahman is refuted herein. This cannot be because the living entity has his own way of thinking in his original unconditional state also. The present conditional state is due to the influence of the external energy, which means that the illusory energy takes the initiative, while the Supreme Lord is aloof. Well, that's very interesting. The illusory energy takes initiative, while the Supreme Lord stands aloof. But it's not like that the illusory energy is just matter. How can illusory energy take initiative? The answer is, by the indication of the Lord. He doesn't have to go do anything. He doesn't have to go to the office and, you know, turn on his computer and make sure all systems are operating. He doesn't have to do that. He just, by volition, the illusory energy covers the living entity, or by volition, illusory energy is withdrawn. And in both cases, the illusory energy is under his control. He's not controlled by it. That's the statement of the Vedas, as opposed to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the same as the living entity, as far as my body is concerned. The Lord doesn't exist, the living entity doesn't exist, there's only one thing. Brahman. There's only one thing. And there's no second thing. But it's refuted. There's three things. There is the Lord, there is the living entity, there is the illusory energy. There's a relationship between them. But there's distinctions between them. Although there's a relationship, there's distinctions. The illusory energy takes initiative to cover the living entity, meaning the Lord indicates. And he doesn't even have to say, you take care of the living entity and bewilder them. Maya knows what to do. And she does. And even the Lord's wish is the living entity is uncovered. But this is described very nicely in Sri Brahma Samhita, that Maya doesn't like people with a bad attitude getting near the Lord. So she keeps them away. Kind of like a watchdog or something. Stay away. Woof, woof, woof. Stay away. She covers them. And so they don't even see the Supreme Lord. They don't have consciousness of the Supreme Lord. And instead they're very busy in their material affairs of trying to manipulate matter. Trying to be controllers. Because they don't want to acknowledge the actual controller. And that way the illusory energy takes initiative. Only by the empowering of the illusory energy to do so can the illusory energy do so. And when the Lord withdraws that power, she's helpless. She's under the Lord's control and moves behind the Lord. Everyone can see him. Then Prabhupada gives, to confirm what's stated here in the Bhagavatam, he gives a Kena Upanishad reference. In relation to the demigods' controlling power. Herein, it is also clearly stated that the living entity is controlled by the external energy in a personal capacity. So, although we say external energy, the external energy means person. The living entity is thus subject to the control of the external energy. And thus is differently situated. So, Paropi, although transcendental, the transcendental nature of the living entity appears to be lost. It's not lost because you're eternally transcendental, but appears to be, and therefore becomes differently situated. Differently situated means situated in Maya. It is clear, however, from the present statement of the Bhagavatam that the same external energy is situated in the inferior position before the personality of Godhead. It's heading towards the mitigating process. Living entity is controlled by the external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, place oneself under the control of the Supreme Lord, one relieved of the influence of the external energy. But we're placing ourselves under the control of the Supreme Lord, his internal energy. But controlled we remain, but we just choose which energy we're controlled by, because we're marginal. This one or that one. Then he goes back to this impersonal personal. So the impersonalist starts twisting things beyond recognition. They say that the living being, the identity of the living being is lost when he becomes liberated. He merges into a state of absolute oneness. And Prabhupada gets angry and says, that's ridiculous. It's sheer imagination that the Supreme Lord is illusioned by his illusory energy and thus becomes a living being. If the living being and the Lord were the same category, then it would have been quite possible for Vyasadeva to see it. They didn't see it. He saw the distinction. He saw the living entity. He saw the Supreme Lord, both in their liberated position. I mean, living entity is liberated position. He didn't see they became one. They are one. As long as Maya is removed. So that's the Maya body thing. Dismiss Maya and now you have oneness only. Here's what Vyas saw. Maya was gone, and there's the living entity, and there's the Supreme Lord. So logically it's absurd, and practically, from Vyas' realization, it's absurd. It's not so. And further, there would have been no question of material distress on the part of the living being. But the Supreme Being is fully cognizant. So this, like, you know, another way of saying the same thing is, if I'm Supreme, how did I get illusioned? And I didn't even know it. Simple. Poor Supreme. He's illusioned. Brahman becomes illusioned. Poor Supreme. And if I'm Supreme, poor world. A poor excuse for Supreme. So Supreme that we become illusioned. No, that's not right. And it's not right. I mean, reason says it's not right. And scripture says it's not right. But these, you know, the mind bodies have, they've got a whammy over a lot of people. Oh yes, ultimately everything is all one. How common is that phrase? So common. An ultimate analysis, it's all one. People just, you know, have heard it so much. accept it without thinking what it is that they're saying. Prabhupada is hitting the pause button and say, wait a minute, let's think about this according to this, in the light of the scripture. The Supreme Lord is fully cognizant. So how does a fully cognizant suffer like the living entity suffers? Because the root cause of suffering is ignorance. The Supreme is fully cognizant. There's no ignorance in the Supreme Lord. So how can he become covered? He doesn't become covered. Living entity becomes covered. The living entity is not supreme. The idea of the living entity and the supreme are one is not possible. Like three different arguments given in this purport about impersonalism. So, Vyas is a personalist. And the Bhagavatam is a message of personalism. It doesn't support this mistaken idea of impersonalism. Living entity and the Lord are one. Or, there is no living entity, there is no Lord, all there is Brahman. In a liberated state. Not so. And so the Bhagavatam is written based upon that realization of Vyas. I'll say it the other way around. Those things that Vyas explains in the Bhagavatam should be understood in light of this. There's distinction. Concluding, Prabhupada repeats what the message is. Thus the Lord and the living beings are simultaneously one and different. Paropi. The Lord is para and the living entity is para. But the living entity being tiny can become covered and therefore in quantity the same, in quality the same and in quantity difference. In quality the same and quantity different, so simultaneously one and different. Another point, last point for this morning, is distinct herein. What is that? That eternal relation between the Lord and the living being is transcendental. Otherwise, the Lord would not have taken the trouble to reclaim the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. That's very nice. The Lord and the living entity, they're both transcendental, and the relation is also transcendental. Even in the conditioned state, the Lord is recognizing that relation. Even though the living entity is not recognizing the relation. And the relation remains transcendental. And in the liberated state, one can realize the transcendental relation. In the covered state, one can't realize it, but it's eternal. And transcendental. We're constitutionally the servants of Krishna, even we're in a state of rebellion. We're serving Krishna. Even those that say, I don't accept God. They're serving God. Prabhupada gives the example like the prisoner in jail. He can say, I don't believe in the state. I don't accept the state. I don't accept the laws of the state. Forget it. There he is in jail. Under the laws of the state. But because he's rebellious, defiant, he's saying, I don't care for these people. He says it in jail. He's under the control. So the material world is a place where living entities are under the control of the Lord, and the spiritual world is living entities are under the control of the Lord. It was internal potency. So back to this initial understanding, to reclaiming efforts of the Lord is illusory energy, the suffering living entity undergoes. There's a purpose for it to rectify, just like Prabhupada gives the example in this purport, a wealthy man that has a son that's of bad behavior. He may place that son of bad behavior after trying and trying and trying himself, under the care of a strict disciplinarian, so to correct his son. So that's what our condition is here. The strict discipline of Durga with her trident, threefold miseries, and letting us know. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Okay, I'll be obedient. That's not the highest motivator for obedience, but then is this hearing of the invitation of Lord, come to me. You gain your consciousness of me, surrender unto me. Lovingly, voluntarily. And then the providing of those instructions by the Lord, it's part of his merciful nature. Okay. Any discussion? 175 Bhagavatam. No, the giving of sufferings is to wake us up. And the bewildering is accepting what is not to be what is and what is to be what is not. The deluding influence. Those are distinct. There's sufferings. That's to wake us up. Okay? Wake us up means, wait a minute, I was expecting happiness and I got misery. What's wrong with this program? It's like I was having a computer problem. It turns out, it appears, that the problem was at a bad battery. So I got a new battery. But the battery isn't charging. What's the message? Message isn't just, I need another battery, besides the one with the new battery. There's something wrong with the motherboard. There's something wrong with the whole system. So by design, it's not like, you know, Dell is giving me a product designed bad so I can realize they're a bad producer of computers. But material energy designs things in such a way they're suffering. That's by design. Dukkhalayamashashvatam. What's the message? This is a bad program. I need another program. I'm going back to the store and get another program. This is a bad program. You got any other programs? You got the surrender program. Oh. How about another? But you know, the other ones are can also be bad programs. Well, I'll take another one of the bad programs, please. So, you know, it also doesn't work. It's to help us come to the surrender program. Because we don't like to suffer. But it's by design. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Yes. Most people are teaching there's only one thing. They say it in different ways, but that's what their teaching is. It's either impersonalism or voidism. It's only one thing, it's nothing. Go ahead. They don't know anything. But they're influenced by default. They're influenced by Mayavad. Just like our prana mantra to Srila Prabhupada. He's come to the Western world, which is filled with impersonalism and voidism, delivering the Western world. Because so Western life has a philosophy behind it. You know, they may not be appearing to be very substantial philosophers, but there's a philosophy behind it. What's the philosophy behind material advancement of material science? What is that truth upon which everything else rests? Where does everything come from? What's the answer? It comes from nothing. And it goes to nothing. And in between it's nothing. That's the philosophy. It's just breeds hedonism. Do what you like. It doesn't matter. Take the consequences for doing what you like. Or, do what the state says and take your consequences. You don't get enjoyment. Do what you like. Where does everything come from? From a singularity. And what's that? It's nothing. And they're just laws of nature. That's all there is. It's voidism. It's not explicit. It's not, this is the foundation of all of the way that we lead our life. It's implicit. And try to bring some other ideology into the educational process, ho ho ho. You got a big problem. Big problem. One man working with the Smithsonian Institute lost a job. They won't publish him anymore. Any credible journals. Because he invited some idea that didn't go along with, some research, 15 years of research of the mathematical explanation of how DNA combines. It's not just by accident. It can't be by accident. Mathematically cannot be by accident. But it can be explained by design. He lost his job. Just by publishing that an article in the Smithsonian Institute journal. Kicked out. So, it's rough and tumble stuff. If you don't line up with everything is zero. In the name of, science. You just want to know what the truth is. They don't know what the truth is. His comment was, I just wanted, my thought was just to follow where the flow of good logic and reason goes, wherever that goes. That's what science is, isn't it? Those that don't have a philosophy, they have a philosophy. And it's got a dagger behind it too. Don't accept the philosophy. You're dead. Serious stuff. They got a philosophy. That's right. And they're running the show. They got control of the purse strings. They got control of the education bank. They got control of the government. And they're not going to let go. And you can say what you like, except don't say that one. Freedom of speech, freedom of press, except that one. It's real serious stuff. Okay, anything else? Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.